Hebrews chapter 11, I'm thankful for power, right? Some things in life we take for granted. Who here has had to take a cold shower this week? Any raise their hands, cold showers? One thing to take a cold shower, it's another thing to take a cold shower in the dark. Those are very difficult things to do at the same time. Now, we were blessed. We only lost power for about 12 hours, so we didn't have to worry about that, but I just have to worry about the dirty looks. Because I go to work and people say, you have power? And I say, yes. You think they'd be excited that you have power? They're not. They look at you like, oh, you have power, right? So it's been a crazy few days, but I'm glad that we have a place that we can come to. We can lay all that aside. We can lay all the difficulties aside, and we can say, just be able to come together as a congregation to worship God, to praise God, and to see what he has for us. If you would go ahead and stand, and we're going to read a few verses here in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go ahead and start reading in verse 8. The Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Go ahead and skip down to verse 17. It continues talking about Abraham in verse 17, where it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I love you. And I'm just thankful for the blessings that you've given us. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity that we have to have a relationship with the Creator of the universe. I'm just thankful for your power. I'm thankful for your might. And I'm also thankful for your love. And I'm just thankful how you know the ins and outs of each one of our lives and that you care on each one of them at an intimate level. And Lord, I'm thankful that you're a God that is worthy of our praise. I'm thankful that you're a God that's worthy of our glory. Lord, I'm thankful for your faithfulness. I'm thankful for the hope of eternity. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to open our hearts to you. I pray that you would be with Pastor as he's away. I pray that you would fill him with your spirit. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight to walk away just pointed a little bit closer to you and to be able to use our lives to honor and glorify you. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. All right, you can go ahead and have a seat. Today I want to look a little bit at the story of Abraham and kind of look at his life. Obviously, we're in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the book of faith, talking about different characters throughout the Bible of men and women that demonstrated faith in their life. Abraham had a lot of opportunities to do that. Some of the famous ones are where he took his son Isaac up, who that alone was a miracle, to be able to have a child in their old age. Now, I always, growing up, I looked at my parents as we had 8 children in our family, and we were grateful for our parents, but when you actually become a parent, you're extra grateful for it, right? They tend to have about 6 times as much energy as we do, and I'm still only 28. Can you imagine becoming a parent at the age that Abraham and Sarah became parents? And through the miracle that God did to give them, through faith, to give them a child, then God says to Abraham, Abraham, I want you to take your son, I want you to lay him on an altar, I want you to take his life as a sacrifice. I want you to think about the faith that Abraham would have had to have in order to do that. To be able to take his only son, who is a miracle that he even had that son, and be willing to take his son's life as a sacrifice. He had so much faith that he said, look, I don't have a problem doing it, because as we read here in Hebrews chapter 11, he says, I don't mind doing it because I know God has enough power that if I'm to kill my own son, God can bring him back from the dead. But today I want to look a little bit more of the first event in Abraham's life that we see here, where it says in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out. Look at these words. Not knowing whither he went. I'm from upstate New York, and so don't hold that against me. But what that means is when I go home to see family, it's a long drive, right? Who here enjoys road trips? Road trips are fun. Road trips are adventurous. We've probably taken that commute via vehicle maybe 15 times or so in the last 6 years. It's about 12 and a half hours. Those are long car rides. I can't imagine doing the car ride from California. I know some people in here have done that. From California all the way across, from coast to coast. But as you're going along, it's difficult on the road because the first couple hours, it's kind of relaxed and it's fun. And you're going through West Virginia and you're looking at the mountains. Then you get about 4 hours into it and you say, hey, look, I mean, we're about two-thirds of the way. This really isn't that bad. And then hours 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. And by then, you just better not, and no one in the car better talk, because if you do, you're probably going to get slapped or shot because all the high tension that's going on in the vehicles, right? But the thing that keeps you going is what? The thing that keeps you going is the destination. You know where you're going. And because you know what you're going, hopefully the destination of the trip that you've embarked on is something that you're excited about, something that you get to go, whether it be a vacation, to go visit family, to go to a fun experience. And so it's worth the wait because of the destination that you're heading towards. But I want you to think about Abraham. He had to go out not knowing where he was going. Now, if God talked to me in an audible voice and said, Rob, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pack up and I want you to leave. That would take faith. But I want you to imagine the conversation that transpired between Abraham and Sarah. What do you think about that? He comes in. He says, good morning, sweetheart. She says, hey, how's it going? He says, I just got back from my morning devotions. And she says, how did they go? He said, they went great. But here's just, you know, talking to God, he kind of has this plan. And so what I need you to do is we're just going to go ahead and we're going to pack up and we're going to go on a road trip. And she says, great. How many suitcases do we need? He says, no, we don't need suitcases. We're packing everything up. Put everything on top of the mules and we're going to go. She says, okay. She says, well, where are we going? He says, I don't know. Can you imagine hearing that saying, we're going on an indefinite road trip. We have no idea where we're going. We have no destination. We have no ETA. We're just going to go. I want you to think about the faith that must have taken. The only thing that I can relate to that was several years ago, it was my birthday, and I was at work driving a forklift, and I was moving some granite slabs with a guy, and I hear a voice over the PA system from the boss that says, Rob, come to the office. So I put the emergency brake on the forklift, I head towards the front, and I walk in the office, and the owner looks at me and says, there's someone to see you in the next office. And I said, okay, I wonder who this is. So I walk in, and there's my wife. We had only been married for about 8 months at that time. And I said, what are you doing here? Now I'm thinking it's my birthday. You know, she brought me some lunch or something like that. She says, you ready? I said, where are we going? She says, just follow me. So we get in a car, and to make a long story short, we drove 9.5 hours all the way up to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and we met my family there. I had no idea they were going there. And she created the surprise for me for my birthday. But the parallel in that is the fact that it was really the only time in my adult life that I was sitting in a car not knowing the destination. And it was a very difficult thing for me to do because she kind of kept the GPS like this. And I would try and sneak a look just to kind of see how long it takes. Now, as children, when children are in a vehicle, they don't know the destination. They don't know the ETA. So what is the infamous line that they always tell us? Are we there yet? So if I was to title tonight's message, it's, are we there yet? So we're going to go ahead and look at a few verses that we skipped over in the middle. Looking at verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desired a better country. that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So what we're going to do for a few minutes this evening is just take these verses here and parallel it with our road trip to heaven. All of us are on a trip. We're on a trip to eternity. And as an 11-year-old boy on April 15th, 2007, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. And it was at that time that I began my road trip to where I knew my eternal destination. There are people that walk around the world that don't know what their eternal destination is. I'm grateful that I do. I'm grateful that I know that my eternal destination is forever and ever and ever and ever in a place called heaven. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole ton about heaven, but I know this, it's going to be pretty good. It's going to be pretty good because, first of all, we don't have to face the punishment of eternity in hell. That alone, even if it was just to sit in a pew and do absolutely nothing for eternity, it would be better than the punishment of having to go to hell. But it's not even just that. It's a place that is no sorrow. It's a place that there's no heartache. A place that there's no hurricanes, no floods, no lost loved ones, no difficult relationships. It's going to be a perfect place for all of eternity. It's like going on vacation forever on steroids. It's going to be amazing. But I don't think that when we get there, it's going to be all about not having to go to hell, or even all about the amazing place that we get to spend eternity, but it's going to be able to spend eternity with the Creator of the universe. The person that sent His Son to die on a cross for us. And for all of eternity, we get to sit there and we get to worship Him and we get to praise Him in all of His glory, to see Him face to face, to be able to bask in His goodness for all of eternity. I love it when we sing congregational music. I love it when the choir sings. Can you imagine the choir that's going to happen in heaven? For all of us that don't have good voices, for all of us that can't sing with our heads in a bucket, to be able to just get out there and belt it out and have it actually sound good, and to be able to sing praises and glory to the Creator of the universe. I'm excited about that. That is, I know that because I've accepted the sacrifice that Jesus made for me, that I have my destination. I know my destination, but I don't know the ETA. So tonight what I want to do is I want to talk about three things to keep in mind on the road to eternity. Three things to keep in mind on the road to eternity. The first thing that we can see here is the importance of being a heavenly ambassador. If you look at verse 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." The question I want us to ask ourselves tonight is, can others see in our life that we are strangers in this country? This world is not our home. I've had the opportunity of traveling to several different countries, and even just different places within the United States. And you spend time around somebody, you know they're not from these parts, right? It doesn't take long to know. If you go, we've been to Jamaica, and in Jamaica, they speak English. They don't speak English like we speak English. You go to Korea, the culture is different. People look different. People talk different. People dress different. And if I'm walking down the street in Korea, everyone can look and say, that guy's not from around here. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, as Christians, we are supposed to be peculiar people. We're supposed to be ambassadors. We are supposed to be somebody that is in a foreign country representing the country that we are from. But so often in our lives, we like to fit in. We like to say, how can I just blend in and be in with the crowd? And, well, when I'm around the church people, I'm going to be a church person. And when I'm around the work people, I'm going to be just blend in where I can. Do our lives say, that person's a stranger? We're so worried about being different. We're so worried about people looking down on us. But really, that's what our calling is. Our calling is for people to say, there's something different about that person. That person has something that I don't. What are some of those things? Well, how about the fruit of the Spirit? If we portray the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and we have the fruit of our Spirit, people will start looking at us a little strange. Right? You ever have somebody in your life that's just full of love? It doesn't matter what you've done or what people do. They just love them. I know some people that you could literally walk up and slap them across the face, and they say, brother, what are you doing that for? You want to hit this one? Right? There's some of those people that just have that love that just shines through. If we are to follow Christ's example and have the fruit of the Spirit, if we have love in our life, how about peace? World's falling apart. World is going crazy in all different shapes and forms, and the world is biting their fingernails thinking, what are we going to do? You can tell. In Greenville, you go to a gas station, they were wrapped around day after day after day because people were worried. People don't have peace. And without Christ, we can't. But sometimes, even though we do have Christ and we struggle with the fruit of the Spirit. Pastor's been preaching a phenomenal message on love, phenomenal series on love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If we have those things in our life, people are going to say, wait a minute, that guy, that young lady, that person, they're not from around here. And then we can say, well, you're right. I'm actually not. The way we handle situations, how about the way we talk? Right? I can go to some countries, and if I didn't open my mouth, people might think that I blend in. But as soon as I open my mouth, and I don't have a French accent or don't speak French, they're going to know that something's different about me. And sometimes in our life, we have to be careful of what comes out of our mouth or what doesn't. Based on how we live our life and the things that we say and the things that we do, can people look at us and see this person's not from around here? How did these patriarchs do it? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The Bible says these all died in faith, not having received the promises. It says they had seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. I want you to think about that word persuaded. It's a very strong word. It's stronger than agree. It's even stronger than believe. And sometimes in our lives, I know in my own life, I need to be persuaded. I think we would all agree that we're going to go to heaven when we die, but are we persuaded with telling others about that? Do we live our life persuaded? It says, persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. So three things. The first thing to keep in mind on our journey of eternity, the road trip to eternity, is can others see in my life that I'm a stranger? Can others see in my life that I'm not from around here? The second thing that we can see is to live our life for heavenly results. We live in a very instant society that likes instant gratification, right? Who here has ever had bad cell service, right? We can't stand bad cell service. I remember growing up when we had computers, they would have the cursor from the mouse, and then it would have a little hourglass next to it. Anyone remember that little hourglass? And it would tip, and what that would mean is what I had clicked on is thinking about it, and it's loading. Now it's like those lines that go around or the blue circle that goes like this. At work, we've had some difficulties because we don't have Wi-Fi, we don't have power, we don't have anything. So we're working off of hotspots and all of those things. Who would have thought 15 years ago that we'd have these things, 20 years ago we'd have hotspots where we can pull internet off of our cell phones. But we get so focused on getting what we want, what we need now. We focus on the results. And if we don't see the results, we get depressed. If we don't see results, we ask the questions, is this even worth it? When we don't see results, we start to question what we're doing in life. Look at the beginning of verse 13. It says, these all died in faith. That's great. You imagine on your headstone, it said, died in faith. But look at what it says after that. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That tells us is they never got to see the results of the destination that they embarked on. They left with the hope of a destination that they never saw. They never saw the destination that they were going to. They never saw the results of where God was bringing them. And in our lives as Christians, we have to remember that the goal, that our purpose on earth is not for earthly results. We're not here for temporal things. We're not here for the results that we can see. And that's difficult for us to do. If you're involved in the ministry, if you have a desire to serve God or to bless people in your life, if we're focused on results, you're going to quit very quickly. But to be able to say, look, I don't necessarily know how all this is playing out. I've prayed for that person for year after year after year, and nothing has changed. I've knocked on doors for year after year after year, and I've never seen somebody get saved. I've sang in the choir. I've done this, but I don't see the results. If we're driven by earthly results, we're going to fail. But if we can be able to take a step back and say, look, I don't see the results, but it's not about the results. If you would flip over to 1 Peter chapter 1. We often get so focused on the results that we miss the opportunities in our life to be a blessing to others, to make a difference, because we start to question and we start to wonder why. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now there's a bit of a roller coaster in this. In verse 5, it talks about the salvation, which is great. And then it kind of takes a little turn. It says, wherein we greatly rejoice. And then it starts to go down as far as the context where it says, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith. Those are some heavy words. Heaviness, temptation, trial. But then it starts to get better. Being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried as fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory. So yes, there might be the temptation and the trial of your faith and the heaviness, but it's going to be made found unto praise and honor and glory. That's great. Read the last part of the verse. At the appearing of Jesus Christ. So when will you see the results of that? At the appearing of Jesus Christ. We may not see the results of what we're doing now. And though sometimes we have trials and difficulties in our life, and it leads us to ask questions. Why is this happening? Why is life going this direction? I've tried and I've tried and I've done this and I've done this, and I don't seem to understand it. Well, I'm glad that we serve a God that it doesn't matter if we understand it, He knows what's going on. And if we're willing to take those steps of faith and follow Him in the midst of the times that are complex, we don't understand, and we ask ourselves, I don't see the results. Is this really what God wants me to do? We can rest assured that God has a plan, and someday, while it may be at the appearing of Jesus Christ, He will make that known to us. And that's a blessing. So the first thing that we see is, we need to be heavenly ambassadors. The second thing is to live for heavenly results. And the third thing, that if you flip back to Hebrews chapter 11, is focusing on a heavenly destination. Focusing on a heavenly destination. I'm grateful that on our journey, we know our destination if you're saved. And that we know that we have the hope of eternity. And I want you to read with me in chapter 11, verse 15. It says, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desired a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Don't have to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians, we're all familiar with the verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Bible says, in verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Well, we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. As Christians, we are called to live for eternal things. But the complexity of that is, therefore, we are called to look at things that we cannot see. And that can be difficult for us to do. We like to focus on things that we can see. What are some things that we can see? How about food? Right? I enjoy food. And I like to be able to sit there in the anticipation of a good steak that's cooking on the grill. Or to be able to go and pick up some good pizza or chicken wings. Right? We enjoy food. How about sports? I want you to think about this. It cost, the beginning of this year during the Super Bowl, it cost $7 million for a 30-second commercial during the Super Bowl. Somebody spent $7 million to have 30 seconds of a commercial during the Super Bowl. Why? Because as a society, we are so materialistic. We have to have the latest and greatest phones and the latest and greatest cars and the houses and all of those things in our life. But really, at the end of the day, those are all temporal. Those are all things that, yes, we can see them and we can enjoy them for a very short period of time. Because if we're blessed, we might be on the earth for 80, 90, maybe make it to 100 years. But in comparison to eternity, how foolish of us to spend so much of our time focusing on the temporal, focusing on the things that we can see, focusing on the entertainment, focusing on the things that we can get to get, quote, happiness. I want you to think about like this. We're going to go ahead and imagine that this room is eternity. Now, of course, it doesn't scratch the surface of eternity. But I have right here that I just found on the floor a little piece of paper. It's a very tiny piece of paper. And so for comparison, this is your life. In comparison to eternity, and our human minds can't really wrap it around it, but for by way of illustration, I want you to imagine that this is all of eternity. And this right here is our life. And that is our life. Something that we can barely see in comparison to eternity. Yet how often do we focus on that dot? How often do we focus about all of the things that are going not the way that we want them to go? Focusing on the things that we do or we don't have in our life. And we focus all of our energy and all of our time and all of our moments on that dot. Rather than saying, how can I make a difference in eternity? How can I do things that, while I may not be able to see them, will make an impact in eternity? There are people all around the world, there are people in our community that don't have the hope of eternity. Yet we pass by them every day. We pass by them every day and don't take the time to share the gospel with them. Don't take the time to show them the love of Christ. Don't take the time, because often, I know in my own life, we get so focused on the dot. We get so focused on the things that we see that we miss the opportunities in our life to make a difference. You've heard the illustration that on the tombstone, there are three things. There's your birthday, November 2nd, 1995. There's the date in which you pass on into eternity. Mine's still not been fulfilled at the moment. You have those two dates, and then in between you have that dash. And that dash represents your life. That dash is very short in comparison to eternity. But it also is all the time that we have. We can't go back. When we've finished our life, we've made a difference in all the people's lives that we can make a difference in. We're not promised tomorrow. So do we live our life focused on the temporal, the things that we can see? Or are we willing to zoom out and say, look, I'm going to use my life today, tomorrow, to make a difference in people's lives for eternity? And it goes back to the verse where it says, persuaded of them. I know often in my own life, come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, go to ministry, get involved, and sometimes we get so callous to the reality of it that it just becomes what we do. And we do it out of obligation or out of duty. And yes, we love people, but I want us to stop tonight and just realize that God has created an eternal place for us. And God has created an eternal place for people to be able to live with Him forever. And are we using our lives to impact eternity or to focus on the temporal things? Back in 1 Peter chapter 8, the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 says, "Whom having not seen," talking about God, "whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye have not him seen not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Is our life full of joy unspeakable and full of glory? It should be. So to finish, just to ask ourselves a few questions. First question is, can others see in our life that we are strangers? When people look at our lives, can they see this person's not from around here? This person is bound for an eternal place. Are we living our life for temporal results, things that we can see? Are we living our life for heavenly results? And then the last question is, are we focused on the dot or are we focused on eternity?